Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Thinking about what to share today. You know, there's so much still going on in our world. But we remember that there is always an all-knowing, powerful presence that's singing those victory voices to us. It's always seeking to express itself through and as us. You know, sometimes circumstances come along to help us be the channels for the expression of those victory voices. You know, we're going through this COVID-19. There's still the remnants of the killings of George Floyd and the subsequent protests that took place. Yet all of these things are examples of promptings, or what I would call, how should I say, evolutionary triggers for all of us. Because we know that God cannot do anything for us. God can only do for us what we allow God to do through us, through our thought, through our words, and through our actions. And we recognize that the universe is calling for us to have those words, or have those victorious words, those victorious thoughts, those victorious actions at this inflection point in history. Sometimes we may feel invaded by this call from the universe. It feels like an invasion because when we say yes to it, when we affirm it in our life, we watch our little plan somehow fall apart. All the conveniences somehow are disrupted. Life gets a little, or sometimes a lot, uncomfortable for us. But this calling is upon us now so we can live our best lives. The death of George Floyd and the subsequent protests across the country and across the world, and that for that matter, have been on my mind. And we experience these things that the universe is telling us to come up higher. You know, this past week I was in Washington, D.C. with my son. Jalen was there because he was in college, and in March they had the sudden move out of the dorm because COVID had hit. And so they gave us a very small window to go back and retrieve everything, so we decided to fly back and vacate the premises. And while we were there, we decided to go down to the White House, or go down to Lafayette Square, which is right in front of the White House. And of course, Lafayette Square is the center of demonstrations that have taken place throughout the years and had been sparked. The recent demonstration was sparked by the killing of George Floyd. Now, this park has a storied history as a soapbox, so to speak, for social oppression. And so that day was quite a contrast, of course, what had taken place, you know, about a week or 10 days earlier. At that time, there were tens of thousands of people who were out there protesting. And today, we went out there that day, there were maybe a couple hundred people were in the park. And the most prominent reminder of what had taken place just a few days earlier were signs that were on the building across the street from the White House. There was a small tent in front of the White House, behind the fence, that were plastered with slogans, including words from the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. And basically, it was relatively quiet. It was very serene that day. And as I was observing that particular scene, there was a question that I and even my son were having as we were pondering, were the protests that had taken place, were they just a moment in time? Or was it a start of a movement? A movement that was answering the call from the universe for every human being to be treated with respect, to be treated with dignity that they deserve. Of course, only time will tell. But the answer to the call, we must abandon doubt. We must abandon fear. We must abandon any beliefs that God is capricious or changes up on us. And we have to have absolute trust in this presence, in the qualities of God. We have to trust those things and allow those qualities to reign supreme in our life. So in addition to changing laws and implementing new policies, a critical change must take place in consciousness. It must take place in our awareness, in which we have absolute trust somehow the inherent value of all people and the demonstration of the better our angels within us, within humanity, will come forth and will be the order of our day. So we do our part. We trust the universe to provide the increase along the way, to allow the conspiracy of things to come together to work on our behalf and be expressed through us to what we must do. Sometimes in these situations, stories give us hope. And I want to share a story about a man who answered this call from the universe, a little something different today. And in this story, something surprisingly happened, unexpected happened, that helped transform consciousness of another human being as he was answering his particular call. It's about a man by the name of Brian Stevenson. Now, Brian is the founder and executive director of the Equal Justice Initiative. It is a human rights organization in Montgomery, Alabama. And Brian is an African-American who is a public interest lawyer, and he dedicated his life, his career, to helping the less fortunate, helping the incarcerated, helping the condemned. And Mr. Stevenson shares a story in an interview that he talks about his work. And the story is about the time he went to visit a new client who happened to be on death row, and he was in prison in Alabama. And parked outside the building was a pickup truck draped in a Confederate flag. And there was a bumper sticker that read, "If I had known it was going to be like this, I would have picked my own cotton." Well, that was a little distressing for him, and Brian said he had never seen a bumper sticker like that before. And he walked into the building, and there was a white guard that met him at the door. And when Brian Stevenson said that he was there for a legal visit to a new client, the guard said, "You're not a lawyer." And Brian responded, "Well, yes, I am." And the guard said, "Well, where's your bar card? Where's your identification?" And he made Brian go back to his car to get his card in order to prove that he was a lawyer, which is something that normally did not do. And although the demand that Brian show his bar card was unheard of as a request to be made by someone who was doing his work, he complied. But to add insult to injury, the guard then told Brian that before he could see his client, he had to undergo a strip search. And lawyers don't get strip searched when they go to the prison to visit their clients. But the guard told him that, well, he would not be permitted in any way to go see his client unless he agreed to the invasive procedure. And after enduring these searches, humiliation, the guard then told the attorney he had to sign a book, which is something that he normally did not do, but again, he complied. He did what he needed to do. Along the way, Brian was infuriated by what he had to be required to do, but he knew he had to fulfill his responsibility to his client. And as they were walking toward the room to interview the client, the guard asked Brian, "Did you see that truck outside?" And Brian replied that he did, and the guard said, "You know, that's my truck." Well, Brian was beside himself with anger at this point, but he kept reminding himself why he was there, what hadn't called him to do what he was doing. And interesting, when his client arrived at that moment, he asked Brian Stevenson, "Did you bring me a chocolate milkshake?" And Brian was taken aback by this question because he thought to himself that this already has been a very weird and strange day. And now this guy's asking me, "Did I bring him a milkshake?" And he said, "No, I'm your lawyer. I'm here to represent you." And it was Attorney Stevenson's first interview with the client, so he had a lot of questions he needed to ask him. And when he asked the questions of the client was barely paying attention because he was so preoccupied with this idea of a chocolate milkshake. And finally, Stevenson said to his client, "I'm sorry, I didn't know that you wanted to have a milkshake, but the very next time that I come, I'll bring you a milkshake." And the client was just overjoyed by this. He was just excited by the idea of a milkshake. But in the interview, Stephen explained that his client had a horrific background. You know, foster homes, he had been in like 29 of them. And by the time he was 10 years old, he had severe mental challenges. He was schizophrenic. He was bipolar. He was addicted to drugs by the time he was 13 years old. He was homeless, and he had no medical care. And during a psychotic episode, he said the client had committed a brutal crime. And the previous attorney that represented did a terrible job representing him. And as a result, the client ended up on death row because he had been handed down the death penalty. And Stevenson went to court to defend the client, to save him. And each day that he went to court, he saw that guard that sent him through that humiliating procedure the very first day that he arrived. And the guard glared at him every day that he was in court. Every day there was a court session, he was there. But despite all that had taken place, Stevenson had several good days in court. He had some good days defending his client. And he saved his client from the death penalty. Fast forward about a month later, the attorney saw the guard, and something amazing happened. The guard uttered these words to Brian. He said, "Hello, Mr. Stevenson. How are you?" And Stephen was stunned by what came out of the guard's mouth, and he replied, "Well, I'm fine." And as Stevenson started to head to the bathroom, expecting that he'd have to be strip searched again like he was all the previous times, the guard told him, "We're not going to do this today." And then Stevenson said, he started to go over to sign the book. And the guard stopped Brian and said, "You know, Mr. Stevenson, I saw you coming, so I signed you in." By this time, Stevenson was totally confused as to what was happening. And then the guard had turned around 180 degrees in his whole attitude toward him. And he was attempting to unlock the door to let him through. But he was having a difficult time because his hand was shaking. But finally, he got the key in the lock and opened up the door. And he turned to Attorney Stevenson and he said, "Mr. Stevenson, I have something to tell you. I was in the courtroom and listening to you. And I want you to know that you are doing a good thing. And I hope you keep fighting for justice." Stephen never predicted anything like this would come out of that guard's mouth. And then the guard said, then Stephen said that, you know, the guard put out his hand to shake his hand. And he told him, "You know, I also came out of the foster system. And I thought no one had it as bad as me. but your client had it worse. Can I please shake your hand? And I hope you keep fighting for the people like your client. But here's the kicker. Before Stevenson left, the guard wanted him to know one more thing. And he told Brian Stevenson he did something on the way back to the courthouse as he was transporting his client to prison. He said he decided to take an exit, and he went to a Wendy's, and he brought his client a chocolate milkshake. To the extent there is a moral of the story or a message, it's that anyone can be transformed. Any situation can be changed for the better. We just need to know each other and listen to one another's stories, and we will find that we have more in common than we have differences. Perhaps that's what the George Floyd experience is calling us to do and to be. We're at this point in history that it doesn't have to be a mere moment that passes us by. It can begin to be the movement of something new, a movement in our awareness in which we realize that we live as one human family that recognizes that we have more in common than we do have any kind of differences. Brian Stevenson answered this call. We have to answer our call, our victorious call that is there for us. And to find out if we're answering that call, we simply have to ask ourselves, everywhere I go, do I make my environment better? Is it better because I am there? Does it have more love? Does it have more beauty? Does it have more joy? Does it have more forgiveness and generosity? All of the sacred qualities of God seem to show up when I walk in the room. Does that happen? Am I contributing and making all the environment that I live in, when I walk in there, does it become better? If in truth you discover everywhere that you go, the environment becomes better, then to some degree you're answering that call of the Spirit to be more of your new self, your real self, to be that sacred self of the image and likeness of God. And that consciousness will spread like wildfire. Understand that God comes to this planet by means of us, by means of our hands, the means of our smile, the means of our prayer, by means of our walk. That's how God shows up in our life. So we let go of the notion that God is going to come and do something to save us. God saves us by our own awareness and ability to live by the good that we already know that is within our soul. We already have so much information out there. You know, we already know about the universal spirituality, spiritual laws, spiritual principles, these things that govern the entire universe and govern our life. It's hidden in every major religion. And if we begin to act by the good that we know, God does not suffer a stillbirth. The quality of God begins to show up that's trying to express itself through us. It can birth itself through our thought, through our awareness, through our activity, and God's word becomes flesh as our life today. So we're asking ourselves, are we answering that call? Are we responding to the prompting of this universe? I can say that many of this community and others are answering the call, whether it's participating in peace marches, learning more about the history that led up to the protests that have taken place after the killing of George. Many are answering the call by asking, what is mine to do in this important inflection point? And I'm here to say it's really just started. It's the beginning. But the moment is now. This is our moment for our movement in consciousness and transformation, and the reason that we have taken this incarnation. This is why we are here. We've come here to be the answer. We've come here to be the vehicle, the very vibration of the Spirit, walking the prayer, being the energetic, being the midwife to the world that is seeking to birth something new, a new way of being, a new way of, is seeking to emerge on the very planet in which we live. But it can only be born through our consciousness, individually and collectively. When we're not laden with fear, doubt, and worry, or fragmentation, or separation, or projecting our shadow side out into the world, or some enemy outside of us. Indeed, the time is now. The moment is now for us to midwife and rise up. And so the universe is bringing and saying to us, is banging and knocking and calling our name. And we've got to answer. We've got to answer. And then we will be able to turn this moment into a movement of transformation of the very planet in which we live and anchor heaven on earth. And we shall see the possibilities of the human spirit all over the planet. Peace and blessings to you. Peace and blessings.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center.